1515 now probably presents the Wrestling Roundtables, the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly, the weekly podcast where we tell you what we like, didn't like, and well, just flat out horrendous. This is your favorite tag team partners, me, Star Pearl.
It's Miller.
Oh, man, I still don't really have a voice. Still recovering.
The effects of a weekend full of wrestling.
Yeah.
Have we gone to Evolve? You know, like, here's the only thing I'm going to say about that, and I'm a little disappointed. I feel like Evolve would have drew a lot better.
Yeah, they did it on Friday.
Not even Friday. They could have done it on Friday. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But they could have still done it Saturday. Just let people know you were going to get out on time. Because that's, I know, I talked to a couple people when I went to the bathroom during NXT who said I would have gone to Evolve if I would have known it was going to end at a real time.
They do next to us, too. He also said the same
thing. Yeah, he said that. See? Yeah. So I just think it would have been better planning on Gabe's part if, in changing the time of the show, they also went and said, hey, you'll be able to get there on time. Just say it. Why not? Because you know why people are here. So
right.
That's just my two cents.
Yeah, because Summit ain't. Summit, Illinois is not that close to Rosemont.
Right.
Which is where they hold the WWE, do all their shows basically in Rosemont, Illinois.
So actually, Displays, but okay.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, that's the crazy thing. It used to be the Rosemont Horizon, but it wasn't in Rosemont. It was in Des Plaines.
Whatever. Still close to Chicago. Yeah. You're really, like, right there.
Yeah, you can still see the skyline.
You're right. So, anyway, Raw took place in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm not even going to go through any history today.
Yeah.
Just not even going to do it. It's going to might be a long show, so I want to save that time.
Trying to save his energy?
Yeah, and my voice. Anyway, match to watch for.
My match to watch for, it's pretty obvious. It's Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bates.
It was nuts, but I'm gonna add one in there.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm gonna add the Dolph and Nakamura. Look, we were so prepared for a shit match that all this hype for Nakamura, and then it wasn't just gonna deliver. Because of the promos that Dolph was just putting out there. So we was just, you know, it was just one of those things that we knew they could possibly put on. Because we know Dolph can go. Right. Obviously, you know Nakamura can go. But it was really about how WWE is going to write the match.
And pretty much.
Allow it to happen. And they did. We got a great match. That Shin Sasa. Dude, that shit was just nasty.
Violent.
Yeah. It was a bunch of stiff hits on both ends. Which I like. What I love. And stuff. And
stiff wrestling.
Yeah, stiff wrestling. Shout out to the Chicago crowd too for it was way more indie people there than I thought was gonna show up. Because when they first showed Randy Orton on the screen. You guys obviously didn't get to see that, but we did. It was a bunch of boos that ended up happening.
I mean, I'm not surprised by the amount of indie fans, especially because people thought that Adam Cole was going to show up and it didn't happen. So.
You know, that's shout out to not NXT was such a great show.
Yeah.
Shout out to DIY and the Authors of Pain.
Yeah,
because they took that sour taste out of your mouth real quick. Because we were sitting there about to be disappointed that we got no Adam Cole. Not even sitting in the crowd.
Yeah.
You got no Adam Cole. But then they come out, they put on a show, and then it was like, Adam Cole, who is that right now?
Right.
It was just, we didn't even care. So.
This is true.
Yeah. Just the NXT, the writing for them is so amazing right now. Got to give it up to them. Anyway, moving on. So, quick hits? No, your news and rumors.
Oh, news and rumors. Okay. What Culture Pro Wrestling, I've talked about them and their YouTube show. However, they have canceled several YouTube shows, which were their free shows. So anybody who's on the iHeart Wrestling page, you know I always post free show alert or free wrestling alert. But they canceled the June 9th, June 16th, June 23rd, June 30th, July 14th, July 28th, August 4th, and August 11th, and August 18th shows. Reason being is because, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, YouTube still hasn't fixed the issues with wrestling being listed as a non-advertiser-friendly, I guess, genre on YouTube. So what ends up happening, and the owner of What Culture Pro Wrestling, he kind of alluded and made everything make sense. He alluded to why this all makes sense and why they're pulling the shows. So, I'm going to break it down real quick for you. Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio had a match, okay, that was on there that got 1,100,000 views, okay? Mm-hmm. What Culture Pro Wrestling only made $44 on that out of all those views. The reason being is there's no advertisements leaked. They don't do the monetization. Because monetization, my bad. Yeah. So the crazy thing about this is that because wrestling promotions are being listed as not safe for advertising, they're losing money. So then they have to pull back on shows. And a lot of this YouTube money was good money. Everybody's not Combat Zone Wrestling, you know, because I'm thinking Deathmatch Wrestling and maybe some of the more risque things were what was keeping advertisers from being attached. And I get the advertisers, but there has to be a way to differentiate and make it work. You get
$44 off a million views? That's it?
That's all they got because there's no advertising on there. Now, when there was advertising, they made 98% more.
Right, because you get, in order to for those who don't know, too, in order to have advertising on your, when you monetize your YouTube channel, in order to get advertising on there, you gotta have 10,000 views. At least.
Yep.
In order to have an advertisement on there. But yeah, that's still just nuts.
And so think about that. You go from making 98% more to just $44.
Yeah.
You can't run shows off that. You can't run a free show, quote unquote, with no advertising.
Yeah.
So in the end of the day, either somebody's going to pick up the pieces and fix it within YouTube, or there's going to be somebody smart enough to come up with a way that it works for everybody, like maybe Daily Motion will. Somebody will. Because that's a market where money can be made on both sides. And just by, you know, maybe YouTube just doesn't have to worry about that right now. So this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
Moving on to more happier notes. It is being said that Meltzer is going to give Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate a 5-star rating, which would put them as the runner-up to Okada and Omega.
I said it was a runner-up. And look, and here's, and I'm going to stick to that. Because I told you I need to watch both matches in order to
actually really assess.
But then I thought about it. I actually don't need to watch it. And here's the reason why. What's going to separate Okada Omega from Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate is storyline. Because Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, was kind of just, you know, this thing just happened. They needed to put that title up on the line, do something, you know what I mean? So it's just not sitting there. And they did this. Whereas there was a storyline built for Okada Omega happening and stuff like that.
You got the payoff.
And you got the payoff at the end, too. Whereas this one, you just really got a match. You got
and some we were surprised.
Line. You got some storyline, but for the most part, you just got a match.
I just want to put out there that I've been witness to 2 5-star matches live. I just want to put that out there. And they were both in Chicago. All right. Just saying. There's got to be some kind of record for Chicago and 5-star matches. Because that's Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair, CM Punk and Samoa Joe. This time it was Sterling.
My fault.
and then Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Speaking of Pete Dunne, he won't be on this show but because of his ties to WWE, but CMLL, Rev Pro from the UK, New Japan from Japan, obviously, and Ring of Honor are coming together for War of the Worlds UK. This is pretty much like a super, super show. That's insane to have all 4 promotions, and it kind of shows you the relationship that's coming along. Like we talked about, if they start working together more and more, this is going to be kind of cool to have all these stars be able to be at different promotions and appease fans who are fans of international wrestling.
If they do it right, I'm telling you, they can go to the O2 Arena and sell out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're already working some of the bigger places, so I wouldn't be surprised. And then last, but certainly not least, Paige. So,
she's still out there.
She's still there.
She's still there.
But what they're talking about is,
I thought they were giving up on her.
Well, okay. So WWE still has that biopic. One of the rumors I've heard is that once that is out and, you know, being promoted, if things don't go right with Paige assisting in the promotion of the movie, then they're going to basically just leave it to Rock to push it, to The Rock to push it, and tell Paige, you know, it's all right. Go chill at home. Now, the reason why this can cause a problem is it's a biopic about her.
Yeah.
Can't really sell a movie without the person who it's about.
Well, you can.
You can, but it's going to be hard. So this is where WWE is really at an impasse. I don't think so.
I think what's going to be hard about selling this movie, in this case, because obviously we've seen biopics just being depicted either modern day or in the past about certain people without them being really involved. I think the thing for Paige is that she got so much craziness going on in her life right now that this is the one thing that she needs to be focused on and doing and promoting it so people will want to go out there and still forget about the other things that's going on with her. And I'm not even just talking about the sex tape and stuff like that. I'm just talking about the craziness with Alberto Del Rio and all that shit. So she needs to get away from that and focus on this bio that they want to do on her life.
Ooh! And then last but not least, I totally forgot this, and you were right. But last but not least, the women's tournament in July has a name. And has a date, July 13th, 14th from Full Sail is when the tournament will start. It's called the Mae Young Classic, and I love that.
Yeah, me too.
As long as that hand doesn't show up.
There's also other news, too.
Is it important? No,
it is, actually. WWE possibly talking about a Money in the Bank briefcase-type match for the women.
Interesting.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks is they only have like 5 female wrestlers on the roster. And
bring somebody up?
On the SmackDown roster.
You know what I would do? Whenever they run into those problems, what I would do is I would, you know, give somebody in NXT a chance to, you know, be like, oh, there's an open spot and we're gonna give it to an NXT superstar to try to seize the moment. They don't have to win. Just them being in the matches.
I think the problem is this is why Money in the Bank should be a cross-brand pay-per-view.
I agree with that, too. Because then whoever wins it, whatever show there, and it doesn't even have to be that show. It could be any time, any place, any title. Yeah. That was what would make it dope.
And it doesn't matter if you have 5. Just go with 5 cross-brand pay-per-views, then. You don't have to stick to 4.
No, there's no rules to this. You make up your own rules.
Right.
You do it. Rules in a fight.
Right.
You make up your own rules. Ain't got any.
Yeah. Alright, that's it for the news and rumors. Quick hits right now. Let's look up the Raw results. Roman Reigns. I don't know why they said defeat Bray Wyatt via disqualification. Technically, to me, I would have labeled it as a no contest, but whatever. Roman Reigns defeats Bray Wyatt via disqualification. Akira Tozawa defeats Aria Davari in a match that should not even have been on the show. Elias Sampson makes his debut, and he defeats Intercontinental Champion Dean Ambrose via disqualification. Paul Heyman, Finn Balor cuts a promo. Finn Balor has a match against Karl Anderson, and he wins. Sasha Banks defeats Alicia Fox, but that feud is not over. Seems like it's getting interesting, though. I'm getting a little more interested.
I'm telling you.
You know.
Like, kind of cool. All
right. All right. Cool, guys. You're doing your thing. Anyway, next, we got Kalisto defeating Apollo Crews. Then we got the Raw Tag Team Champion, Matt Hardy, defeating Sheamus to choose the stipulation for the Raw Tag Team title match at Extreme Rules, which it will be a steel cage match in which I don't give two shits about. They could have chose a tables match. Something. Something other than this. You know what's kind of crazy is that so far, there's really no what's the names that outside of the Kendo Stick, they really haven't developed any extreme rules that you're just like, okay, that's cool. Because even with the Dean Ambrose in the Miz,
if you get disqualified, you lose the belt.
Yeah, which is a dumbass rule. That's not extreme.
Well, it's a way to protect him and move the title. So
yeah, whatever. Fuck that. Anyway, next we got Austin Aries defeating Tony Nese, in which Austin Aries puts him in the last chancery, and then Neville wants to one up him, and I forgot his submission move is called. It used to be called the Rings of Saturn. Didn't Saturn used to do that?
I call it Lord of the Rings since he looks like a troll. Sorry. Wow. I like him though. I like Neville. That was mean. I'm sorry. But he does sometimes. Especially when he was growling in the ring. I was like, holy crap. What the hell?
Yeah, he does look like a character from Lord of the Rings.
Man.
Anyway. Then we got the Raw Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss, defeating Mickie James. And then we got Bray Wyatt and Samoa Joe defeating Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. And that, my friends, was Raw from Grand Rapids, Michigan. In which, once again, they're being consistent. Let's see how long it lasts. We know it doesn't last for long. And you know what I think the problem is? And shout out to EJ and Jay Fields for pointing this out. When they just totally cut storyline to put these part-timers in. And it messes up everything.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a definite issue. And they pointed out the Randy Orton thing too. They did a great job. They did even better than us. They knew Randy Orton better than us. That's my Donald Trump way of saying it. Nobody knows Randy Orton like the GTS podcast. No Randy Orton. Nobody knows him better. but they did a great job of breaking that down. Kudos to those guys. Really loved it. Appreciated it. I'm glad that y'all spoke on it because I think my partner over here was a little dismissive.
How was I dismissive?
You was a little dismissive, dog. You didn't even want to talk about it. You didn't even care about it.
Oh, about the whole indie thing? Yeah, man. I mean, because I'm tired of people getting all this. Like, it's just like, okay, for example, I thought about my News and Rumors talking about Virgil and his stupid ass tweet. Why am I giving these people the time of day when they're fucking ridiculous? I'm not doing it. No. Yeah.
But you know, the thing that made Randy Orton relevant, you know what it is, though? And this is what I just succumbed to. It's jealousy, yo. You're jealous that all these people getting all this attention. And even though you're making the money, you're not getting it. Because nobody gives two shits about you, really. And that's just the reality of the situation. If Randy Orton was off my TV, and this, I'm not saying this just because he said what he said. Literally, if Randy Orton was off TV, I wouldn't give two fucks. It wouldn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I would not miss him. It'd be, and not to say he didn't contribute to anything in WWE or whatever the case may be. It's just that if he was gone, I don't care.
And I'm not, right, I agree. I like Randy Orton. I'm not going to sit up here and say I haven't ever been a fan of him. But, you know, in the past couple of years, it's kind of like, man, you know, and that kind of started with the whole, let's put John Cena and Randy in the match again and unify the belts and going back that far. It was just ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Quite all right.
Yeah. We don't miss you, just like John Cena. We don't miss him. We don't miss him at all. No. This is what it is. John Cena is off TV, and look, I'm not blinking an eye at it. I'm just not.
Doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go through it. The Raw, the Bad, and the Ugly. Your Raw, sir.
My Raw is the tag team main event. I really like the way that played out.
I'm glad you went there.
Okay, good. I like the way it played out. I like the dissension between everybody. I like that the past mattered. Mm-hmm. That's what meant the most to me, is that Roman Reigns, even though, okay, we can kind of forget that there was a time where they were being cool with each other for a little bit. Let's forget that. Mm-hmm. And let's pretend like we're starting over. I like that he was like a reluctant partner. He's like, I'm going to be your partner, but I don't trust shit you do.
No, I think what it is that it kind of shows that these are two alpha males now. It's no longer the group, and you know what I mean? This is mm-hmm. two alpha males. I think that's really the story it was going with. I'm going to tell you the reason why it wasn't my Raw, though. Why it didn't make it to that point. So I'm going to let you finish first.
I mean, that was it. Okay. The match for
the
me
reason
was
why, the reason why, which is Roman Reigns, first off, I still don't like this motherfucker, but he's better suited for a tag team because he can come in, hot tag, do whatever short move set that he has, and it works for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes in a tag team, you don't need a huge move set.
Big Cass.
Right. Big Cass in particular. But the reason why is the finish to me just didn't transition well for me. I just felt like Roman Reigns should have hit Seth Rollins with the Superman punch, and then Samoa Joe pushes him out the ring where Bray Wyatt gets a hold of him, start beating on him, mm-hmm. and then Samoa Joe hurry up and put the Kokita clutch on Seth Rollins, and that's how it ends. I felt like that would have ran a lot smoother mm-hmm. and more crisp than what's the name, kind of hitting him with his shoulder, they bump into each other and then get into an argument and everything. I think storyline-wise, you could have built this to next week, because then later on you end up announcing that in the co-main event you're gonna have Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, and then that would have built up a better story for that match. Just me personally. So that's the reason why I didn't end up becoming my Raw.
It's a valid point.
Yeah. But my Raw, it's Paul Heyman and Finn Balor promo. And here's the reason why. One word. Hopeful. Because now, the way everything seems to be kind of going is you're still going to have Roman Reigns, not Roman Reigns, but Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins in a feud. And then you're going to have Roman and Bray in a feud, which leaves Finn Balor being the one to win that match, go on, face Brock Lesnar and actually beat him.
Beat
Brock Lesnar. The way the promo was going and the way everything sound was like, you are actual threat. You are actually successful. You are somebody that they need to be watching, not the other way around. You're not the underdog. You're that guy.
But see, the only thing I don't like about that, because I get you, and that makes sense to me, and I did like the promo too, is the one thing I don't like is that Vince thinks that Finn needs it. That's what bothers me, because I feel like that was more, I love the storyline, I love the things that were said, but I feel like the reason why he was cool with doing that, or pushed for it, or decided that they were going to do it, whatever happened, was because he feels like Finn needs this
Right now,
extra nudge. You're just going to be cool with it. I feel you, and you don't want to complain, but it's like, it just bugs me, because it's one of those things, again. Do you not know what is going on with the people who pay for your product, bro?
Yeah.
We like this motherfucker.
Mm. Yeah. Look.
We want him to win. So you don't have to do extra shit. We know he's dope. Look,
you know what? Because
you got to take your W when you can get it.
Yeah, I'm going to take it when I can. And look, however I can get it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, all that matters is that Finn wins this fatal five-way match. And then Brock loses for the first time to a full-time wrestler on the roster since 2011 when he lost to John Cena. That might have been 2012, one of those years. So this is just something that's been a long time coming that needs to happen. So hopefully, like I said, I'm hopeful. The way everything kind of played out leads me to be hopeful. So that's the reason why that was my Raw. You're bad, sir.
My bad. So, how do I say this? I know the focus on Raw is about the Cruiserweight title, right?
Mm.
I just feel like we don't have to see Austin Aries interact with Neville every freaking week. It's like every, it doesn't have to be the way they do it. Mm-hmm. He's always out in his matches. He's always jumping in his matches. He's always doing, every single week, I get sick of it. Like, I just don't understand. I know he's going to have a match. Because, mm-hmm. okay, for example.
Yeah.
And we always go back in to WCW.
Mm-hmm.
When Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio had their feud, Eddie Guerrero still had matches with other people, yeah. and they still talked about the feud.
Mm-hmm.
Rey Mysterio had a match later in the show, and they still talked about the feud. Just because they don't interact right away doesn't mean they're not feuding.
Yeah.
But it's like with WWE, you have to constantly... I don't care about Austin Aries versus Neville, because I feel like I've seen it every week, because they're always interacting. They're always any... It's just every single week, though. Yeah.
And we know they're in a feud. We know that it's not over.
Right.
So they don't have to interact like that all the time.
I mean, I don't mind what they did in the match yesterday, but it just felt like, here we go again. There's no other cruiserweight you can focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And I get they gave us Akira Tozawa and what's his name. But
that match was so short.
Exactly.
And it was a waste of time to sit there and change the ring and everything. You changed all the ropes.
To go right back.
Yeah, just for
you might as well just designate
yeah.
30 minutes to the cruiserweights if that's what you're going to do. And then just be like,
What needs to happen is they need to figure out something with USA Network. It makes SmackDown a 3-hour show. So then that way, 205 Live is that hour before SmackDown or an hour in between SmackDown.
Mm.
And that's how you do it.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned before, the way WCW used to do Nitro was that first hour you had the Cruiserweights.
Right.
And they went at it. You was in
Cruiserweights and the TV title. Right. That was it.
And you was stuck to the TV.
Yep.
Because you was the huge WCW fan. That was your thing.
That was, because it was about
WWE.
Wrestling.
Yeah. And it was. It was more wrestling, especially in that first hour. And I used to always turn from WCW at the end.
Right, because it'd be Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair over and over.
How many times? Because they literally, at first NWO was dope, but then it was just too, it was too much. Yeah, it became too much. It was just like, all right, it's overkill now. I just can't do it no more. Yeah. Can't do it. I won't do it.
Can't do it.
All right. My bad. By the way, Alexa, we love you. Alexa Bliss defeating Mickie James. And here's the reason why it's my bad. Because the match wasn't long enough. This is the first time that Mickie James looked crisp in the ring, and since she's been on the main roster, this is the first time she looks crisp. She didn't botch anything. She was hitting her moves. Like I said, the word of the segment right now, crisp. Everything was just flowing well. She was stiff. I mean, everything was going nicely. They chain wrestled right in the beginning, and then like, oh man, I'm sitting there like, oh wow. This is going to be a great match. We about to have this. I was already like, this is going to be my Raw. And then all of a sudden, Alexa Bliss hit her with a nice stiff punch, which was dope. That punch was stiff as shit. And then she hit her with a nice ass DDT. That DDT looked kind of vicious.
Yeah.
That was the first time.
It looked like, woo!
Yeah. Well, you look like, all right, she's done. And everything. But it was just too short. It was like Alexa really didn't get any offense in until that point, and then it was over. So that's the reason why it was my bad. And it's a shame when I can sit there and fully explain a match in that short amount of time. I mean,
it really was that short.
It really was that short.
Full disclosure, I went upstairs and got a bowl of rice, and when I came back down, Allie was like, it's over. And I was like, wait, what, why is, because I said, why is Bailey out here? What happened? And she was like, oh, she's hitting her with the can. I was what? Yeah. There's no time to enjoy anything.
You know what I mean? And if that was, you know what I would have did? I would have took that Goldust promo out of there and gave it that more time.
Nope. I love that Goldust promo.
I did too, but I did too. But that would have been the
promo. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Well, why not just take out Tozawa and...
I would have took that out too. I wasn't done.
Oh, I'm not done, but I'm going to take out.
Yeah, these are the things I'm taking out. The Akira Tozawa versus Aria Davari, that was a waste of my life. And then I'm taking out the Goldust promo. Okay. And then I'm giving that match more time.
Sounds good to me.
Period. Because I think that match needed that much more time for it to be. Because then we would have been talking about. Because if they had a nice back and forth, we'd have been talking about, damn, this might have been the best women's match of the year. That's how good that match was going at a certain point. But then they just abruptly ended it. That's a shame. Because like I said, that was the most crisp I've seen Mickie James in the ring in a very long time. Anyway, you're ugly, sir.
So, I'm nitpicking again.
Hold on, I wonder if this gonna be a hot tag situation.
It might be.
Is it Kalisto and Apollo Crews?
No.
Okay. No. Nope. It's not.
Okay. Nope. I don't have an appreciation for what they're doing with the Hardy Boys. Here's why I'm saying that. I really did like Sheamus versus Matt Hardy. It was a good match.
Yeah.
I don't think it goes back to what I was saying about Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Every single week, I'm getting some amalgamation of these dudes in the ring against each other. Why?
Yep.
Like, this is literally how WWE 2K17 books shows. It's video game booking, and I'm annoyed.
I feel like you really didn't have a ugly, because you should have just lumped this into that.
Well, no, but they're two separate situations, because the Austin Aries situation for me is a little bit different, because, again, like we've talked about, you're doing a disservice to 205 Live, man.
Yeah.
Because if you want me to watch this show, and the cruiserweights are the reason you're trying to get me to, like, you show the cruiserweights on Raw to get me to watch 205 Live, because you plug it.
Yeah.
If all I ever see is Austin Aries and Adrian Neville, why the hell am I going to watch it? I don't know anything else about what you're doing, because this is all you show me half the time. And a 5-minute goofy match with Araya Daivari, not going to cut it either.
Yeah.
So that's why I have an issue with this. This is different. This is just lazy booking to me. Like, okay, Jeff went against Cesaro, so now we're going to have you, Matt, go against Sheamus. They did this last month.
Yeah.
They did this last month. Why are we still doing this? Why can't the Hardys face a different tag team? You know, anybody. I don't care who it is. Throw two jobbers out there. And then the Cesaro and Sheamus could do something and beat up everyone. I don't know. Just do something different.
Especially when they're 2 weeks away from facing.
That's my problem. And I feel like next week we're going to get Jeff Hardy versus... who did he face last time? Cesaro? So now what are we going to get? A handicap match? You're just going to keep these two. They'll probably do some 8-man tag or something, and they'll be in the ring again. Keep people away from each other going into the pay-per-view. Make me care.
You know the one thing that WWE should do is for their go-home shows, start building up for the next storylines. This is one thing that they don't do that they should do. And that's start building up who's the next. Who's coming up next.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be doing... That's how they should treat their last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Is... You do your promos, you use that to get that, you know, that interaction between the wrestlers or whatever to let you know that this story is still going. But then you start using the last 2 weeks as a means to start building up the next person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who's on deck? Who on deck? You know what I mean? So then you start building up these other superstars that you have.
Yep.
And then now it's not a surprise when this person is fighting for the title versus you throwing people in a fatal 4-way match, a triple threat match, a 6-man elimination match, a fatal 5-way match. a battle royal. I mean, so now you don't have to overuse these things that should be more. It should be treated as more of a special type of match.
Right.
These matches should be more special because it should be like, all right, we really don't have anybody who really elevated themselves. So now let's do a battle royal or let's do a fatal 5-way match as to who's been the best. Because all these people been on the same level, but nobody really elevated themselves from that.
And I kind of like how they put together the 5-way. I like the title picture at Raw, aside from Brock not existing.
Yeah.
But I like the title picture. If the title was available and it was on someone else that was there every week, I'd be like, cool.
Yeah. But
I agree with you.
But it's the overuse of that.
Right.
I don't necessarily have a problem with this right now just because of
it's how working.
It's not.
But it's overuse.
Working. It's not really necessarily working. It's just that the title ain't there. And you really hadn't established somebody right now.
But this was a good idea rather than just throwing Roman in there. And being like, well, just put Roman in the match because we don't have anybody.
Right. So,
but it is overuse.
Right. And if you was going to do this, this is where the title should have been defended. But these people that are fighting for that next level would have been in there. Mm-hmm. And stuff. But I'm just talking about as an overall picture. This is how they should be booking. This is how they should be doing things. But anyway, my ugly is Kalisto defeating Apollo Crews, and here's the reason why.
Because it made no sense.
It makes absolutely no sense. Apollo Crews should be on a win streak. Apollo Crews should not be focusing on feuding with both Enzo and Kalisto. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Wait,
if you're going to do this, it should have been Kalisto from the beginning. Are you not?
Nope. It's going to be the Revival.
Oh, for real?
95% sure. Unless they switch something in the end, it's going to be the Revival's return.
Okay.
Which is why they never addressed it.
Okay, that's dope. But even then, though.
But even then, he shouldn't be losing in that match. If anything, he should win and be like, maybe Titus does something that's heelish, and then Apollo wins and he's like,
no, first
why did I even win?
Kalisto is just, no. What's the name? He is what Tony Nese is, a premier athlete. Apollo Crews should not just be losing to Kalisto.
No, he shouldn't. If the point is, because like I said, I agree with you. If the point is that, like, unless Apollo's going to turn on Titus, which I don't see happening, why this setback for him just to, I feel like he's going to just win next week and then it's not going to really matter. It just was weird. It didn't make sense.
No.
He should have won. And if the whole thing was to make it seem like there's some kind of disarray, the disarray should be that Titus did something in that match.
That caused Kalisto the match.
Yeah. And then Apollo's looking like, dude, I don't win that way. And then Titus is like, this is how we do.
That's how we make money. No, but I think the thing is, Apollo should just be heel. He should be on the verge of turning heel.
Right.
That's just what it should be.
Right. I think they're going to turn him from frustration of losing.
Yeah.
Then what the fuck are you with Titus for then? He should be winning because he's with him.
Right.
And winning dirty. And then his turn should be that he does it on his own.
Yeah.
Like, then he takes a chair and uses it. He's like, this is how we making money. This shit is working.
I mean, you pointed out how Titus is doing, going to colleges and doing speeches and getting paid and stuff like that. I mean, run with that. I mean, this dude does, if anything, does have mic skills and shit. I don't want to see him in my ring.
Yo, when he said that food stamps line, dude, fell out.
He said, I don't care as long as it spins.
Long as it spins, bro. He said, food stamps, EBT? I said, I'm done, dog. I'm out of here. People are confused. What is EBT? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Man, long as it spins. Yeah, it made me think of that Benny Siegel line when he said, I used to think money is white.
Oh, damn.
I'm embarrassed. Yeah. That was, I forgot what song was that. It was that one song, Where Have You Been?
Was it Understand? And I was like, no, it's Where Have You Been.
Where Have You Been? On the Dynasty album.
Yeah.
And he was talking about his dad. Yeah.
Which is not a Jay-Z album. Well, it wasn't planned to be one.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a compilation album.
It was.
Yeah.
And then it kind of turned into a pseudo Jay-Z, not really album. Yeah. Let's just put some shit out.
I think he was on all the songs but one.
Yeah.
I think Memphis Bleek had his own song on there. That was it. But anyway, going back. But I think that's it. That's my Raw, Bad, and Ugly. Your Raw, Bad, and Ugly. Let's talk a little wrestling. And in this week's segment, we just gonna roll with the
NXT
Takeover Chicago. I'm gonna give you the quick hits on this, real quick. We got Roderick Strong defeating Eric Young. Pete Dunne defeating Tyler Bate to win the WWE United Kingdom Championship. We got NXT Women's Champion Asuka defeating Ruby Riott, Nikki Cross in the triple threat match. We got NXT Champion Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode!
Defeating Hideo Itami. Unfortunately, we did not get Adam Cole, baby.
Eventually. Brooklyn, calling it now.
I don't even know if you're going to have to wait that long. But eventually, we end up getting this NXT Tag Team Champion ladder match where the Authors of Pain defeated DIY. And I'm glad I did not get a DIY shirt when I was there. Mm-hmm. I did get me an Aleister Black t-shirt, though.
No man is ever really good.
Yes.
No man is ever truly E. Yeah. I'm getting that tattooed somewhere. Somewhere on my body.
Somewhere. Just wherever it fits.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, so, Roderick Strong, Eric Young.
I really like this match. I'm not the biggest fan of how Roderick Strong has been used in NXT because I feel like he should be higher up on the card. Mm. But he showed everybody why he's Mr. ROH forever and ever and ever. Mm. Because this match to me was so dope. Him coming through the crowd, totally unexpected, but smart because of how Sanity does things.
Yeah.
And then just the back and forth. I really like this match. And it wasn't one that they had at the beginning in the first place. It wasn't on the card. Yeah. So, for me, it was just really dope, and it made Roderick Strong shine.
Is it because, I mean, because in indie wrestling and stuff like that, and even in NXT, we appreciate him because we know that it's about the wrestling. He can get on the mic, speak on the mic, and everything. But it's just like, there's no flash there in Roderick Strong.
I think it's, for WWE and even NXT, it's different trying to promote him because, like you said, there's no flash. Hmm. But
that's how it was in ROH. It was no flash.
There. No flash.
But he can get in that ring.
But what made him dope, so in ROH, the way that they booked him was, it's no flash, just I'm going to beat your ass. Like, I'm not trying to rap or nothing. Like, that was real. So I knew when Roderick Strong came out, from the day one when he was in Generation Now, Next with Austin Aries and Jack Evans and Alex Shelley, I knew that, okay, this little short, swole dude is so I know I'm going to use the R word, but there was always this thing that stuck out in my head. CM Punk during, while he was on commentary on an ROH show, Roderick Strong took both Briscoe brothers and had them like in a fireman's carry and did like a double backbreaker. And CM Punk goes, man, he's got freaky retard strength. And I was like, holy shit. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But that was his thing. Mm-hmm. That he was just this small dude who was ridiculously strong. Now, what I think NXT's doing that ROH didn't have to do because everybody was already like, yo, he's the dude, is they're showing his real life story. His real life story is dope. His mom pretty much wasn't shit. I mean, that's just real. And wrestling was his escape. He wasn't even a big wrestling fan. He was just like, how the hell do I get out of this town?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something we can relate to everyday life from where we come from. People are always trying to get, you know what I'm saying? Like, how can I get out of this situation? So you look at it, and he's a dude who loves wrestling. And that's how they're showing it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to work. Because they're showing his story and what he's done and his traveling. And they even used ROH in there. Mm-hmm. So I think how they're doing it and making him a real person is going to work.
Yeah. All right. Next, we got, obviously, the match of the night. Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate. Man. First off, dude, look, I don't know. If they were walking the next day, I don't know how. I just don't know how. I mean, they left there red. It's just no way they could have left there without having being red and black and blue. They was just like the rainbow out there and shit, because these dudes were just stiff as shit.
Can I say something?
And Pete Dunne still in Shibata's
hole. Yes, that's what I was about to say. That was so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look.
Hey, that was the best part.
Yeah, I mean, just
shout out Shibata.
And Tyler Bate, I mean, the story that was told in the match was like Pete Dunne was not going to be denied, because Tyler Bate was the one really putting the hurting on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pete Dunne just wasn't going down whatsoever. until he actually came out as the victor. That was the only way he was walking out of that ring. So that this whole match was just...
Because I think even with the personal... Stars. Yeah. Because like you said earlier, this didn't have a personal issue to it. The one story we did have is, like you said, Pete Dunne wasn't going to be denied. Because if you go back to the UK tournament, he's done everything to try to get to this point.
Yeah.
So even though we didn't have the same emotion like we did with Okada Omega because of them having that issue, this match still was dope because in the match, the story was, I'm Tyler Bate and I'm not going to take no shit and you're going to have to kill me to get this belt. And Pete Dunne, I'm going to kill you to try to get this belt. And they just went at it. And like it makes me feel good because before they were even with, you know, WWE, I would tell people on the podcast, how many times did I talk about Pete Dunne? I was like, this dude is the truth. I'm telling y'all, Pete Dunne, Pete Dunne, Pete Dunne, Pete Dunne. And so for everybody to finally see, like, this kid, he's a kid. He's only like 23, right? 24? Yeah,
he's not that old. Tyler Bate is only 19.
And 19.
This dude is freaky fucking strong, too.
That is scary. Yeah. I didn't realize he was that strong and agile. What the hell with the high flying? Like, so I don't know if Vince would be able to handle them on the main roster because he'd be like, well, wait, what? You do a shooting star and you do power moves? Like, what are you?
Yeah.
But
that's where Vince is so out of touch, man. This is where, dude, because now we can mix this in. Because you got people like Luke Harper. You got Kevin Owens.
Yep.
You got AJ Styles that can do mat wrestling plus high fly. Mm-hmm. Not that necessarily Kevin Owens could really do a high fly, but he can do
he does moonsaults and
stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, just what you can do with all their moves. Oh, and Sami Zayn, another one.
Yeah.
Somebody who can do the high flying. And this is where Randy Orton, that's the reason why people like us take such great offense to what the fuck he said. Because it's not even just about being able to do super kicks and high flying. These dudes can fucking get out there and wrestle.
They're athletes. And I'm not saying Randy Orton's not athletic, but he's not as athletic as Kevin Owens. He's not as athletic as Nakamura. I'll keep going. He's just not. That's the reality of it. So, like you said, when you say stuff, you know, like it's all the same or whatever, the one point, okay, it's all the same. We keep paying for it, though, so shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
I know how the fuck an ROH match is going to go. There's going to be a point where they beat the hell out of each other and everybody's laid out and I'm going to yell ROH. But you know what? I love that shit. I know Young Bucks are going to do a super kick party. Yeah. I don't know exactly how it's going to come about, but I know it's going to happen.
But you know you're going to get a good mixture too. It ain't going to just be the high flying. Right. It ain't going to just be the super kicks. There's going to be actual wrestling going on.
But we've watched enough wrestling to know that we know when things are coming. We know there's going to be a point where they trade shots and they fall out.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I know it's going to happen. I want to see how it happens.
Right.
I know when I watch.
I want to see the story. Right. I mean, it's just like when we watch him. We know what's going to happen.
We know you're going to RK him from nowhere.
Yeah.
And we mark out. Oh, I hit it from nowhere. Crazy. That's what wrestling is.
Yeah. That's what it's about. One of your best matches came against somebody who was a high flyer.
Yeah.
And Evan Bourne.
Yep.
At the time. Now Matt Sydal. And it was dope as shit how you came off the ground and hit him with the RKO as he was about to do the shooting star press. I mean,
all I gotta say is dive. I wish I would have made that sign. If I would have been closer, I would have had a dive sign, I swear.
And look, I haven't watched the match on WWE Network yet, but just to let y'all know too that it was really mixed.
It was.
I seen the little video montage that they do with all these people with these shock faces, but it was really mixed.
I high-fived 97 people while I was up there.
Yeah. It was really mixed between Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. A lot of people cheered, including us.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about the Maharaja, which is either a Hindu prince or I think the way he's using it is a great ruler. Or great king.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so, I mean, it's just, because not all of India is Hindu.
Uh-uh.
Right?
No. Yeah.
And he's not from there. So I would assume the way he's using it is he's a great king. That's what I think that's how he's using Maharaja. Great King. But anyway, it was really mixed. This would made such a great weekend of wrestling because NXT was really good. Backlash was really good. I'm not even gonna lie. And now my voice is kind of showing you why.
It's gone.
It's little gone. Anyway, next we got NXT Women's Champion Asuka, Ruby Riott, and Nikki Cross. I ended up watching this on TV because I think that gave it more justice.
Okay. I only remember it live, and it was good.
Yeah.
The finish was weird to me, and I was like, okay, that just came from nowhere, but we'll work with it.
Well, she hit her with the running knee, so obviously, but it was just that, you know, sometimes when you're doing it that low, it doesn't look quite as strong and stuff. But yeah, this match was really, really good. And Nikki Cross putting Asuka in the apron and just started.
And so just wailing on it was hilarious.
Yeah, that was nuts. Asuka is just, she's on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And when she comes up.
Charlotte, Asuka, that's all I ask of you. That's all I ask. Just make that shit happen.
It's going to be a while.
No, put her on SmackDown.
Look,
do it.
I'm just telling you right now.
We'll take Ember Moon later. I want, or somebody from the tournament. We'll get Hojo or somebody. I want Asuka, Charlotte. That's it.
Look, and that's exactly the reason why we're going to get Asuka. Because we don't have enough heel wrestlers. And Asuka's going to come in and fill that void. And they don't have enough face wrestlers, and if Charlotte end up turning heel or Becky end up turning heel, which is what I expect, I actually expect Becky to turn heel. You're gonna need that other baby face to go up, and it's gonna be Ember Moon. Right now, NXT, they were in trouble.
As
far as the women wrestlers, now they're starting to build it back up.
Yeah, because they're waiting on that tournament, man.
And now you're getting Hojo. I said Hojo. That is her name, right? Yeah. Now you get
Shirai.
Shirai. Yeah. So now you about to start getting more female wrestlers in that group to the point where you don't have no choice. You have to bring Asuka up. I wish Asuka come up undefeated, but I think their thing is
you got to somebody's got to beat her.
They want Ember Moon.
It's got to be. It has to be. And the reason why is because you can't do that again. You can't. We already did that once with Paige not really losing the belt, and then like there has to be somebody passing the torch. You got to, because that's just the psychology of wrestling.
I just wish they never did it with Paige. I'm honestly, Asuka's so dope that I just don't want to see her take.
Yeah, you know what? And it'd be a dope honor for her. But I think with her and her love for wrestling and how wrestling goes, I think she'll be like, I'm gonna drop the belt. Like I don't want to.
Yeah. But. Yeah, just because you know what? Because I don't want her to just come up and win the belt and stuff. I do want her to work her way up. And I think that's how they should do it, is where she comes up, but she later on drops the belt after she comes up.
That'd be dope.
I mean, that's how I would do
it. I'm with the shits.
Yeah. Because I would do it like this. I'd have her say, for instance, Brooklyn take over. I have her drop the belt there. Win the belt the next night.
Okay.
Win the women's belt. Whether that's SmackDown or Raw. That's how I would do it.
I'll agree. Circle gets the score.
All right, next we got Bobby Roode defeating Hideo Itami, dude. Bobby Roode, first off, this dude is just, he's right now too, just on another level. And it sucks for him. Because he's so good right now, but they're not going to bring him up anytime soon. They just can't. They can't afford to do it. This dude is just that good. It's the Finn Balor thing all over again. Mm-hmm. Where you know Finn Balor should have been up a long time ago. But it was just that Finn Balor was so good. And they really wasn't doing a great job of really building up that next competitor. They had to keep Finn down there and stuff. And I think the same thing is going on with Bobby Roode. He's just that good to the point where how do you move him up right now? And honestly, Finn Balor didn't want to come up.
Right.
Bobby Roode, does he even want to come up? Do you want to come up and...
I don't think he needs to.
Right. But, you know, their goals are to be the WWE champion at some point. That's what the goal is. Otherwise, what you come over here for? I mean, you didn't come over here to be NXT champion. You came over here to be the WWE champion. So, you came over here to get that shot and do your thing. Because that's one of the things that GTS podcast pointed out, and that was just, you know, a lot of these wrestlers are really up there. Bobby Roode, I think, was around 37. Samoa Joe in his late 30s. Finn Balor may not be, but...
I think he's our age. I think he's like 33.
Yeah.
32.
So, I mean, they've brought over it. I mean, Roderick Strong, he's up there. So, you do have some of these wrestlers that coming over. AJ Styles, Nakamura, you know, who really, they're not too much younger than John Cena. John Cena, what, 39, 40? About to turn 40? So, these dudes are really close in age with John Cena. It's just that now they're coming over to try to get the pinnacle, what everybody wants. They need that WWE championship, and then they can go on and ride off in the sunset. So
ride off in the sunset.
That's the only reason why I say it kind of sucks for Bobby Roode, because you want to have that chance to reign right now before you're done. But look, modern day medicine is allowing these dudes to wrestle for a lot longer. So, who knows? But anyway, this match was really good with Hideo Itami. He knew he was going to hit the GTS. Triple H was not going to let him leave Chicago without hitting the GTS. It just wasn't going to happen. But anyway, your thoughts on this match too.
So, I really did like the match. I liked the story. The one thing that stood out is how good Itami and Roode are at selling.
Yeah.
Because Roode maintained the whole shoulder thing. Mm-hmm. And I loved how Itami went crazy in the back after he lost.
Yeah.
But the finish was what did it for me. The rolling DDTs. I was like, oh man, he's got to do this again one day. Because that was sick. And he took a beating. Like, we were talking during the match. Like, we've seen Kenta, Hideo Itami kicked the shit out of people, and he kicked the shit out of Roode during that match.
Yeah, he was.
He was kicking him all over the place.
And Roode was just selling every last one.
Yeah, he was. I mean, some of it probably was real, too. Yeah. He was like, Jesus, that hurt so bad. Because people have said, wasn't it Daniel Bryan who said, I've never been kicked as hard as I was kicked by, no, that was Ibushi, because he kicks ridiculously hard. Man, I need to see them two in that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, for me, this solidified Itami's, like, back, like, okay. It's for real. And it solidified Roode as a champion that'll, you know, and can have really, really good matches and not even be on offense that much. He had offense, but I think the story was Itami, you know, beating the crap out of him, but Roode is just too smart. And he, when he hits his move, it's a wrap.
Mm.
And you know, I love protecting finishing moves, so.
Yeah. Anyway, and then he had to do it twice, though.
But it was rolling.
Yeah.
That's what made it dope.
Yeah. You know what? That's just how he should do his finisher.
I'd say that too.
Yeah.
Just do two rolling DDTs. Like, oh no, I'm not done with you now.
Yeah.
Or like maybe a DDT and then a brain rolling into a brain
buster.
That's
what made. See, and that's another thing too that WWE don't realize what they got in Apollo Crews, because that's what was so dope about. Remember the Apollo Crews versus Finn Balor match? It was just on a regular TV, NXT TV show. That match was so good. And Finn Balor couldn't just go and beat him with the coup de grace. He had to do the Bloody Sunday, and I think he had to do it twice or something like that in order to put him out. It was like, no, I got to put you down.
Right.
And that's how it was. Anyway, next, we got the Authors of Pain defeating DIY in a ladder match, and then we got Psycho, Tommaso Ciampa, just putting a beating on Johnny Gargano after that match.
Ass-whooping supreme!
But the match itself was really good. And I think the Authors of Pain, are so, so good at just putting on a story, period. Because at the same time, you realize that these dudes are big and they still sell that. They still sell that they big, but they don't go overboard
to, with the big, right.
Yeah, with it. It's still, you can still hurt us type thing.
We're not invincible.
Yeah, right. And that that suplex into the ladder and it broke. That was nuts.
That was nuts. The shot with the ladder that Gargano took was ridiculous.
Oh, man. Just all of it. All of it. Anyway, and then the turn happened. I thought Gargano was going to turn. I would have liked that because that would have been a nice swerve. Because he had...
Well, it swerved me enough.
Because he had the baby face. Well, I already knew it was happening. We knew somebody was turning and stuff because of that woman that did the vocals for Gargano's music. You know, when she tweeted it out and then had to take it down because it was like, oh, no, you're spoiling shit. But anyway, I just felt like it would have been a better swerve because he looked the part of more of a baby face.
Mm-hmm.
And so just confusing. I like that. If you ever notice anything, it's the one thing I like is confusing the audience. It's like, you think this, but nope, this is how we're doing it. He has such a baby face type personality and everything that him turning heel would have just been like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from? I did not see that coming. I mean, Tommaso Ciampa looked crazy, so it's kind of easy to see him turning and everything. But anyway, shout out to Ciampa too for being able to go in this match. I know he rolled up that ankle.
That ankle ain't no joke, boy. He lifted up that ankle, boy.
That's Derrick Rose by rolling up that ankle because you can start tearing up other things.
right. Yeah.
Dead serious. Because that's what happened to him.
Yeah.
He had the ankle problem for a long time.
And then it started affecting his knee.
And then in that game, you overcompensate. And so what happens, he overcompensated and tore the ACL. And then now, look, this dude can't keep that knee. His knee's healthy. So...
yeah.
But anyway, this was a really great show.
And not just because I was there live. I would have felt that way if I wasn't.
Right. I mean, I give it a B.
I'm going to go with B as well.
I'll give it a B. I just think some of the storylines just wasn't curling.
I think they weren't, weren't developed all the way yet. I think there's more to some of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and maybe I have to change it later on.
Nope, you're stuck. B, bam, B, bam, two B's, bam.
But, yeah, anyway, so that's it for us. And it was something I was going to say to you, though, that as we was talking, I wanted to bring up, and I just totally forgot.
It's all right.
I'll figure it out.
We're getting old.
Yeah, I am. I'll figure it out next week. That's what's
going on. There you go.
Yep. Anyway, be sure to check out 1515 app and all of the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. Be sure to click on the Amazon banner. Well, before I get there, actually, let's just go through the podcast. Check out the, when you put in 1515 app, if you go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and you're looking up the podcast, if you put in 1515AVE, you will find the podcast such as Equal Opposites, Lace Him Up, Loving Hip Hop, The Rundown, The Wrestling Roundtable, Studio Flow, The MWT Podcast, and Mac and D Talk TV. Or you can just type in Wrestling Roundtable, RASSLIN, Roundtable, and you'll find our podcast, the RBU, and of course the GTS podcast. Both of them are very entertaining. So go ahead and listen to both wrestling podcasts. Anyway, with that said, make sure you click on the Amazon banner and purchase something. It goes to support the site. We really greatly appreciate it. And with that said, it's me, Sterling Pearl.
It's Miller.
And we out.